In the spring of 2007, I was finishing up my first field education unit at Montgomery Place, an independent, assisted, and nursing home on the shore of Lake Michigan. And it was around Ascension Day, and I was going through a tough time then, although looking at this sentence now, a lot of seminary was a tough time for me. I made an offhand remark to my supervisor. "Well, Ascension Day is almost here, where Jesus blasts off, never to be heard from again." The supervisor knew a lot about my life situation and my sense of humor, and he chuckled and shook his head. "There's that cynicism again." It's hard not to be cynical sometimes about the world or about faith. We might be scared, we might be anxious, we might suffer from unending worry and anxiety about tomorrow, despite Jesus explicitly telling us not to worry. The words of the scoffers in the second letter of Peter may resonate with us, for they say, "Where is the hope of his coming? For ever since our ancestors died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." In carrying all this, we might feel or tempted We might be tempted to think that nothing we do matters. The word for that is disempowerment. But the ascension of Jesus Christ, far from being Jesus blasting off never to be heard from again, is actually the way that God empowers the church for the work of the gospel. It's curious that even post-resurrection, the disciples are still operating from their old messianic expectations. The last question they ask before Jesus ascends is, "Lord, is this the time that you'll restore the kingdom to Israel?" That is, they expect the kingdom of God to be identified with a particular geography, the lands of Israel and Judea. They expect Jesus to take secular power and to rule top down, to do everything himself. And it's not an unreasonable thing to expect. The prophets speak of a restored king in David's line, after all, who will set things right. Prophet Jeremiah writes, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king, and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land." First glance, this sure sounds like worldly power. But that's not the way Jesus exercises power. That's not the way that Jesus rules. And as much as they, and if we're honest, we times want to make Jesus into a worldly king, someone who will come back and set the evildoers right, whoever we think the evildoers are, that's exactly not who he is. Jesus is a very different kind of king. He doesn't hoard power. He doesn't merely share it with a select few either. Jesus equips and empowers the whole church on earth, including you, Ryan, to carry out the work of the gospel, which is nothing less than proclaiming and living God's love in Christ in a hostile world. So how does that happen? Luke tells us twice, once in Acts and once at the end of his gospel, that Jesus ascends to his Father. Should pause here and say that I doubt Luke is being literal about this. Rather, he's describing the indescribable using imagery and metaphor, describing Jesus returning to his Father. In fact, he tells this story twice, once at the end of the gospel and once at the beginning of Acts, should clue us into that. Once occurs Easter night, the second occurs 40 days later. Jesus really does return to his Father. But trying to describe it in a flat-footed, literal way, where he ascends and then he ascends again, will get us nowhere because we get hung up on timeline. And the fact is, with Jesus, it doesn't Jesus is present in all times and in all places. Luke also tells us that Jesus appears to his disciples over a period of 40 days, which is never a literal number in Scripture. It's a code for a fair length of time, but not forever. Back to the point. When Jesus ascends to his Father, he is not abandoning the church. He is not abandoning his creation. Rather, Jesus is more present with his beloved church and his beloved creation more than ever. Before his death and resurrection, Jesus was subject to the same things we mortals are. Okay. He could only be in one place at one time. He could get hurt or sick. He had to eat and drink. Now, there is a story before this in Luke where the risen Jesus does eat in front of his disciples, but that seems to be more for their benefit, more for their faith, than it is for him. Jesus contends with the same limitations and liabilities of the human condition. But after he is raised, and after he has ascended to his Father, Jesus can be anywhere, at any time. Jesus can be present wherever people call on his name. Jesus is present at a million altars like this one, present in, with, and under the bread and wine to feed his beloved people. Jesus is present in a million pulpits wherever he is preached. Jesus is present at a million baptismal fonts like that one. Jesus is present in a million places where the hungry are fed, where forgiveness is shown, where disaster relief is sent, where love is expressed. Jesus isn't just restricted to a few people and places anymore. Jesus empowers his whole church through the Holy Spirit. Today we recognize that very empowerment in you, Ryan. Say recognize because you were empowered from the day of your baptism on. The Spirit at that moment of your baptism descended upon you, forming saving faith within you. Even in tough times, which you mentioned in your faith statement, the Spirit has stayed with you, Ryan, empowering you to make different choices. But you know, and we know, that our choices alone don't save us. God alone, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, saves us from our sin, from death, and from the forces of chaos and evil. And because we are saved, God has empowered you, Ryan, just as God has empowered us all for the work of the gospel. And gospel work is about living out a different kind of way of being. It's a different way of life. Where the world says, get even, the gospel says, show mercy. Where the world says, hoard everything you can, the gospel says, give. Where the world says, be frightened, the gospel says, peace be with you. Where the world says, work till you drop, the gospel says, take time for rest. And where the world says, hate, the gospel always, always says, love. That's empowerment. Not, of course, according to the standards of our culture, or any culture for that matter, but according to the standards of Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is to work alongside our risen Lord, our Heavenly Father and their Spirit, to bring shalom, wholeness, peace, well-being to the world. And God help us remember that we have been empowered. You have been empowered. Even when we're tired or anxious or frightened or angry or even disgusted with the state of things. Because we're called to something greater than our world can ever give us. We're called to receive and to share God's own shalom, both now and in the world to come. Thanks be to God. Amen.